Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
Tonight was the debut of Carmelo Anthony in the NBA.
It's a reboot.
It was back, wearing double zero with the Blazers.
And he looked good in that double zero, let me tell you. I might buy a double zero.
That's how many points he had, double zero.
Less than zero.
If he had that, if that was his plus-minus rating, it would have been fine. So what kind of night did Carmelo Anthony have in his debut for the Blazers, a 115-104 loss to New Orleans? Well, don't take my word for it. Let's just hear the play-by-play.
CJ on the wing. Robs to Carmelo Anthony. Backing down Drew Holiday. Wants to get in the paint. Turns. Fades. Puts it up. That's no good. And the rebound by Brandon Ingram. Defended by Jackson. On the far wing. Dumps it off underneath for Carmelo Anthony. Spins around. Goes up off the glass. It was deflected from behind by Ingram. Melo wanted a foul. Hands to Jackson. Goes behind his back. Crosses over. Now he drives. Melo fouls him on his way up. The shot bounces up and off. And Melo's going to pick up his fifth foul.
Yay! Blazers Radio Network on the call.
That was great.
Melo's debut, he played 24 minutes. He had 10 points, 5 fouls, 5 turnovers, and was minus 20.
He did a good job of filling the boxes. All he needed was one assist. If he'd had one assist, he would have at least given you a little bit of something all over.
If you were in an NBA fantasy league and you get points for fouls, you'd probably lose it
a point for the turnovers. So in the end, you probably got about 4 points for him. when you look at it, terrible shooting night. Hit the early shots, but that was short-lived.
Yeah.
So the early excitement. And you talk about the plus-minus. Defensively, he's always been a liability. Now it's so pronounced that it really shows up when you do the advanced analytics. It takes it to a whole other level.
Melo's minus 20, meaning the Trailblazers were outscored by 20 points when Carmelo Anthony was on the floor. Okay, he was minus 20 in 24 minutes. And this is a little bit out of whack because anytime a team loses by a lot, you look at plus minus and you see bad plus minuses. You know, the starting players plus or minus 25, minus 21, minus 19, minus 28, because they're all on the floor and it's one of those games where you just get killed. The other team is great.
Right. Just watch a Knicks game.
Right. But what you always have to watch out for is when you see somebody whose plus minus is out of whack with the rest of his team. Either someone who's come off the bench and is plus 15 in a game when most of his teammates are zero or plus one or plus two. Wait a minute. So the team was pretty effective when he was in there offensively and was pretty good on defense too. Conversely, when a player has a much worse minus than anybody else on the team, that stands out too. Melo minus 20 tonight. Minus 20. Next closest guy to him was Bazemore, who was minus 10. You had some plus players on there, but everybody else was minus 9, minus 8, minus 9. Melo was a full 10 points worse when he was out there in his minutes, and the Blazers lost by 11. This minus 20 is the third worst plus minus of Melo's career in fewer than 25 minutes played.
How about that?
This is the third worst of his career.
Can we round up?
In which he's
I mean,
played
I don't
more,
know how many it was, 24 minutes and how many seconds. Can we round up just so it can get it off the medal stand? I mean, because that becomes a medal stand game for a guy with a long, illustrious career.
You know, that's what people forget about Melo, is that it's not that he can't score. His game is a bygone era in the NBA, and this is not how the NBA plays anymore. You need to be able to go up and down the floor. You can't be an isolated shooter. You can't do absolutely nothing on defense if you're only scoring 10 to 12 points a game. If you're scoring 35 a game, okay, we'll take you're a defensive liability. But his game just isn't where the NBA is right now, and that's the problem. That's why Melo has looked like a dinosaur so fast.
Yeah, it comes at you fast, right? We talk about it in the NFL where you hit that cliff pretty fast, where you're productive, you're okay, and then you're done. Just like that.
Just in radio. You're productive, you're okay, and then you're done.
Well, and then you try to go find yourself a you know, climb the ladder again, moving across country, changing your stage name.
Look, Tyshirt's 27. He's on his fourth different podcast. He's trying to reinvent himself as an anime expert of some kind.
3.5, okay?
Oh, sorry, okay. How's the anime podcast going?
For some reason, the button just didn't want to work there.
As I said, Tyshirt trying to reinvent himself after not doing well.
Let's just say, Jay.
The shiny button.
We will change the world of animation.
Wow.
How about that? That's kind of big.
First, I'll learn how to turn my microphone on, and then we're going to change the world
of
animation.
If I can do that, it's over.
So, hey, somebody's always going to be there to press the button.
Hey, Jason, by the way,
how
are your hot takes going?
I got many hot takes.
Okay.
How about this? We need a new board op.
We do.
And how about a press kit? Where you find them?
Get gloves. That was so damn hot.
Yeah, I don't even know what to do with that. I mean, I need
go burn yourself.
Double oven mitt kind of thing going on there.
You know what we need? No, you know what we need right now? Because now I need Tyshirt's
help. Perfect cheer?
I can't troll him and then say I need help, but that's exactly what I'm doing. We need to go a little Masked Singer with our topic we're going to talk about right now. We need a little Who Are You by The Who.
I'm not working here, apparently, so I don't know what to do.
Because
at 11, you're done.
After,
you still got to finish the last shift.
After Colin Kaepernick's workout this past weekend, it looked like, well, nobody's interested. And I still think nobody is interested, but let's have some fun.
For giggles.
Because Colin Kaepernick's attorney, Mark Garagos, yes, that Mark Garagos, went on the Adam Carolla podcast earlier today to talk about the aftermath of Colin Kaepernick's workout.
Did he play rich man, poor man?
I don't know.
Where you say something and you have to, it's got to be applicable.
Were
to
they
both?
Jumping on trampolines?
It might have been.
I can't do this. I'm 70 years old. You got to jump. Everybody jumps. And he said it's not one, but two teams who are kicking the tires and interested.
Two. Jets and the Jets.
Stop. Are interested in Colin Kaepernick.
There are a couple of teams, Bald, that you could probably guess. There are two teams that I think are in the hunt. One who is legitimately in need of a quarterback, that had a very poor showing on Sunday, and has got an owner that I don't think gives a and the other is an owner that maybe does give a but they still want to win them there in the hunt.
All right, so
Jets and Jets.
Let's try to figure this out. Take it off. Take it off. See, that's the thing. I can never hear this song again. It's one of the classic songs in rock and roll history. But every time I hear this song, all I'm going to hear is take it off. Take it off. So who could Mark Garagos have been talking about? What two teams could be interested in Colin Kaepernick? All right, first, quarterback was bad on Sunday. Owner doesn't give a crap.
Cleveland!
Now, when he says in the hunt, he doesn't mean in the hunt for the playoffs. He means there are two teams in the hunt for Colin Kaepernick. So,
Jets.
Two teams. Quarterback was bad on Sunday. Darnold threw four touchdowns. Four.
He's trash.
Who's in the hunt for Kaepernick? First of all, you would think Carolina. However, Garagos said a day ago, no, the Carolina Panthers are not interested in Colin Kaepernick.
Well, they didn't even send anybody down the road
to
see it.
So who are those two teams? I have two that it could be, with owners who might not give a crap and quarterbacks played bad on Sunday.
Now, the question is, give a crap about Kaepernick's situation?
Right, like we have money, we don't care.
No, or do we have, we just have money, so screw you, and the money keeps flowing in.
No, no,
well, I'm just trying to think of where
they don't care
goes.
About what the blowback would be from bringing him in. The two teams that I came up with after doing all the sleuthing, take it off! Tampa Bay, the Glazer family, don't think they care. Quarterback played poor on Sunday.
That could work. Bruce Arians is a guy that
quarterback
he
guru,
doesn't care
right?
either.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. They don't care. They need somebody. They're moving on from Jameis Winston after this year, most likely.
He's got a diverse staff.
Yes.
And a guy who embraces sometimes a little bit of controversy to an end.
Yes.
Yeah.
Chicago Bears.
No.
Virginia McCaskey.
Nope.
Chicago Bears.
Nope.
Quarterback played bad on Sunday. You're talking about very progressive situation. Quarterback stunk on Sunday. Need somebody else. Don't have another quarterback on the roster. Quarterback stunk on Sunday. Want to make sure you're covering all your bases. Quarterback stunk on Sunday.
Saying the ownership didn't care is going to be, I don't think that's necessarily the case. They're also under fire for their love of Trubisky.
Yes, true.
So,
but
that's one of the, when it became the, was he hurt or not, talking about Trubisky on Sunday night, there's a couple of shots where he's clearly affected, where we were, you couldn't see from that angle live, and you're not getting replays of every play from the, you know, overhead cam. But that's the big thing in Chicago, is that they love him a lot. So
yeah,
to go
else
the
does.
Other way,
but they couldn't. But, they to, couldn't
but
need
to be
somebody
the,
else.
But to be the, yeah, but it's not going to be him. It's going to be. It's going to be another one of these other quarterbacks.
Yeah, but they don't. But nobody likes him.
But
that
saying
much.
They don't. No, the ownership liked him.
Much.
And look at Ryan Pace has not had to answer
years.
For this yet.
3 years.
No, but last year he was good because they actually ran the offense that they should have been running with him,
mm-hmm.
and they got every break under the sun when it came to the defense.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Out of work wide receiver,
mm-hmm.
Antonio Brown, went on social media today on Instagram and posted this message. Him being hugged by Tom Brady after his lone touchdown in New England.
All you media people can go yourself.
Well, there is that.
And Antonio Brown writes this note. Mr. Kraft, to Bob Kraft, apparently.
Oh, okay.
I apologize sincerely to you and your organization. All I wanted to be was an asset to the organization. Sorry for the bad media and the drama. Thank you sincerely, AB.
I'm calling BS.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think he did it.
Well, I like that there was a semicolon in there.
that's exactly why I don't think he did it.
Too much punctuation?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, sometimes you overpunctuate when you have no idea what you're doing.
Well, he put Mr. Kraft, it was the R with the dot and then the K without a space. He did put a semicolon in there.
Yeah, that was the dead giveaway.
But there was a space
dead
after drama.
Giveaway.
I mean, he didn't.
I ate ribs with that dude.
Many people liked this post, including Tom Brady. This is the lesson that Antonio Brown can learn from Colin Kaepernick. Antonio Brown wants to get back in the league. So does Colin Kaepernick, allegedly. How bad does he want to get back in? Well, would you completely biff a job interview if you really wanted to get back in? Of course not. Antonio Brown, if you remember previously on social media, when we last left Antonio Brown on social media, referring to Bob Kraft's ongoing case in Florida in which he was charged with solicitation for allegedly receiving a sex act in a massage parlor.
Yep.
Brown put out, Kraft got caught in the parlor. AB speculations fired, different strokes, different folks, clearly.
He said different strokes.
I know, different different strokes to move the world.
Yes, as long as they don't do the episodes with Sam.
Different. Stop, don't bring up the bad ones. So there's a couple of times where he has said bad things about the Patriots on social media. And now, because he's still out of work, now I want to apologize to the Patriots for my actions. This is just a general thing. It's a general lesson for anyone who wants a job somewhere. If you want to get a job someplace, the number one thing to not do is insult that place publicly, where that place can hear and see you insulting them. All right, Antonio Brown went on a social media tirade following the Patriots cutting him because he's embroiled in numerous sexual assault litigation that he's got to figure out, and he's blaming the Patriots. And now suddenly, oh, hey, I'm sorry, I just want to get back in the league. Teams look at Antonio Brown and go, we can't bring him back. Right? Obviously, you have all the legal situation hanging over his head, which is what has to get solved. After that, sure. But right now, are you going to bring in a guy who can be this kind of a headache? Because we don't know how he's going to behave from one minute to the next. Is he going to go on social media and rip the team and go, I see the way this team reveals itself, everybody just kisses the quarterback's ass and not the wide receivers, and then the next day everything is fine. No team wants to live like that. No team wants to live with waking up in the morning going, what did this guy say on social media? Because clearly he can't even spend 5 minutes just focusing on football. The same thing. This is why Colin Kaepernick is not signed, because here's a situation where, hey, he's going to go work out for the NFL, but nope, I'm going to hijack it. I'm going to take on the National Football League after it's over. I'm going to move it. I'm going to inconvenience the media. I'm going to wear a shirt that implies that I think the NFL is about slavery, and I want back in. teams look at him and go, yeah, all right, I don't know that we want to bring that into our locker room. Because you clearly, when you are an unpredictable wild card, teams are not going to do that because it's not worth it. And Antonio Brown and Colin Kaepernick have to know that when they show this side, these are the repercussions. For Colin Kaepernick, at least I understand that, hey, his relevancy is as this anti-hero NFL player who is being kept out. And look at me, I stood up for what I believe in, and here's the NFL, keep me out. And that is his identity. His identity is as the guy that's being stopped from playing in the National Football League, and when he loses that, he loses relevancy. So he took this weekend to really amp it up. Remember, I am the put-upon quarterback, who I'm the rebel who is being kept out of the NFL. At least that part I get. Antonio Brown is, dude, you're not getting paid. You went from $50 million to no money. What are you doing? What are you doing? No team is going to sign you.
Right. For Colin Kaepernick, you re-energized your base. That was the goal. That was the mission of changing everything about the workout and go on down to the entirety of the waivers and on and on. I mean, there's so many different elements to it. We've talked about it. Find the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, download it, give it 5 stars. We'll love you forever. But when it comes to Antonio Brown, you've still got these cases ongoing. Are you going to the exempt list? Is there disciplinary action in your future off of these? Reportedly had his interview last Thursday. Remember, that was when we had Myles Garrett and everything. We really never got to talk about Antonio Brown that day or what might have been said in that meeting. But hoping for a resolution, the fact that Tom Brady likes it. Yeah, Tom Brady's salty. We talked about it yesterday. He's a guy looking for more weapons. He would love to have a wide receiver
and
like Antonio Brown.
They're not going to materialize out of thin air. It's right. Not going to happen.
There's few of those guys in the league as it is, let alone just on free agency terms. So, but as long as the legal processes are in place, who's bringing them back in, right? Seattle kicked the tires, went after Josh Gordon instead.
They know that if they want to sign him, the NFL says, we're still completing our investigation and you're on the exempt list.
Yeah, I mean,
so you're not going to get him right away.
You're not getting him to play and we're already going into week 12.
Yeah.
So what's the end win for you? Yes, you get ahead of the curve if you want to sign him as part of your plan for 2020, but that does you no good now, and most teams don't have a ton of cap room anyway. You'd be looking at a minimal deal to show up at this point in the season. But yeah, with Colin Kaepernick, it was, well, here's my message. Here's where we go. And generally, he's not hit Twitter. He's retweeted a lot of stuff, right? People posting about whatever he's doing in a community.
Yeah.
Occasionally, something controversial from, you know, Eric Reed or from Nessa or whoever else. But for the most part, has stayed out of actually having his first-person narrative roll through, which is one of the criticisms of him as the voice of a movement. But then he went and said, hey, look forward to seeing the GMs, coaches, whatever. That was the first tweet. And then clearly that was all, no, we're not really doing this, but let's go along, because they had already staged all their security and everything else for the second site. But Antonio Brown likes to tweet. So he can learn from Kaepernick is, you know, be selective. You know, if this was your only tweet, then maybe it looks like you've been humbled, right, in the Iron Sheik parlance. But in all of this, it goes back to the girl next door. Is the juice worth the squeeze? Right?
Nice.
Talent wins out.
Yeah,
talent wins out. Yeah. And like Antonio Brown's talented as hell, but he ain't outrunning legal, and you're not outrunning the fact that you've gotten yourself kicked off of several teams.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
But speaking of the NFL, we do it every Tuesday night here on the show. We give you our picks for who you should pick up in fantasy this week. And these are not the guys you should go get. Like, oh, you know, I should go get... not the obvious guys, right? We're going to give you guys that maybe are available. You have bye week problems. You can move on. These are the guys to go get. First guy I'll tell you to go get is Jeff Driskel. If you have a quarterback problem, Driskel had a huge game last week. He's got a great matchup this week. Why not?
And right? Their defense stinks.
You know they're not going to run the football. They're going to throw it. If he's coming off a big game throwing, they're going to keep letting him throw the football. Why not?
But they have Bo Scarborough.
Doesn't matter.
Chris Berman is locked in his basement. Sad he can't use all those lines until Monday night.
Bo Scarborough fair in his debut for the Lions. TJ.
He's one of the guys you're looking at. Obviously, Jonathan Williams of Indianapolis, 13 carries, 116.
Right, but of course you're going to pick him up because, look,
well, maybe,
Mack is
maybe
out,
not.
They
still stink in terms of running the football, but he's the guy. A little deeper on the comeback trail off injury, David Njoku. For your Cleveland Browns, expected to be a big-time player for them, and we've talked about the schedule and its weakness going down the stretch. He's ready to come back, so another opportunity for a red zone threat for Baker Mayfield and a guy they've been waiting and probably need that safety valve just as much as anything, as the outside has been difficult.
You said opportunity.
Opportunity. What I was trying to steal from Tyshirt.
Opportunity. Opportunity. Yeah, there you go. That's Tyshirt. That's Colin walking in.
Well, I was trying to give him a little bit of love.
It may not be for this week. But down the stretch, he's going to get the ball a ton. And every year, there's a couple of guys you can pick up near the end of the year. And suddenly, they didn't have a big role for like 10 or 11 weeks. And suddenly, here they are getting the ball all the time. Pick up Darius Geis.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought you were going to say Tyrod Taylor.
First off, it's Tyrod.
Yeah, yeah.
Second, Geis, people are really going down that rabbit hole, but that's a whole other thing.
He did have an okay game last week, but clearly he didn't really play until the fourth quarter. The game was out of hand. But they're going to need to continue to see him, right? You got to see how he can
coming
do, how
off
he
two
can
big
play.
Injuries, yeah.
And maybe not for this week, but in the weeks after, as you get into the end of your season moving on, Geis is going to get the ball out. You have to see him. You have to see what he is. He's a first-round pick. Pick him up. He's available in tons of leagues. He's a guy to go get.
All right. One guy, and it may have seemed obvious because he's had a couple of big games, but because they had a bye week, perhaps not a guy you rushed to.
Ryan Griffin.
Ryan Griffin. Solid. His target count's been pretty consistent. That. Little red zone action. But Darius Slayton of the Giants. Mm-hmm. He's got a couple of touchdown games. Spit that out really fast.
You can't. No. You couldn't. You just couldn't.
But no. as bad as we've seen Daniel Jones play at times, and Saquon Barkley, much like I predicted, has been useless, the fact of the matter is you've got a guy in Slayton who's become a go-to for him. Another that's on the wire and once upon a time was a fantasy sleeper and darling was James Washington. Well, he's the last guy standing right now in Pittsburgh. For this week, no clue at this point whether you're going to have either Deontay Johnson or Juju Smith-Schuster available. And Washington's targets were already rising a bit more as Mason Rudolph came back off his injury. So a guy whose target count should lift, and you've got a pretty good schedule coming up for him as well.
I'll give you a defense to go out and get.
Hit it.
It may be... It's not too late, but clearly this week they will be sought after. But go pick up the Falcons defense. The Falcons defense has played extremely well the past few weeks, and maybe, just maybe, the Falcons are the late blooming team that's going to go on a normal Chargers-like run where suddenly they win like five games in a row after starting off really slow. They play the Buccaneers this week. You know they're going to get the football a ton. Now, Winston, they could throw like 11 interceptions in this
game. Look at you going after James. I thought you loved James.
Go pick up the Falcons defense and play them and stream them this week.
Jameis battling Phillip Rivers at the top of the leaderboard in turnovers. Sorry, Frostberg. It's just truth. as you roll through.
Yeah, and your Bears suck, too.
No, there's no question about that. But I'd like them this week because they're playing the Giants.
Oh, they'll lose to the Giants.
They may lose to the Giants, but maybe Khalil Mack will read some of the headlines that are going out about his disappearing act these last couple of weeks, and maybe he'll make a play. How about that? The Bears have been dropped in a lot of leagues.
Yeah,
defensively, they've not held up from a fantasy perspective.
Just anything to do with the Bears, people just want to get rid of.
That's pretty much
even like Baylor. No one's talking about Bears. No, getting rid of them.
That's not a bad move. I mean, they lost two. I mean,
yeah.
So
yeah, that's true.
You know,
yeah,
those undefeated teams
that's
over the course of the weekend. I mean, the boat sank in Iowa City, and Baylor lost.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It is time to talk National Football League. There is no one better to ask questions and get answers that you're going to laugh at and may or may not take seriously.
Go Aztecs, dudes. All right.
Then the editor-in-chief at fansided.com, longtime NFL insider. Don't forget, he is a pro football Hall of Fame voter who has a workout scheduled this weekend for as many as 24 teams in the National Football League. at the actual Falcons facility.
Oh, nice.
He may move it to Florida where he lives, but right now Jason Cole is scheduled for that workout. J. Cole?
What am I supposed to be working out?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, your typing skills, maybe?
My many problems, yeah. My Hall of Fame ballot.
Your abs? I don't know.
My wife can dream about that.
Well, teams are going to want to make sure you still know all the adjectives and adverbs you did when you were younger. Make sure that's not disappearing for you.
I will have to elevate my writing game. I can talk. I'm actually having Scott Pioli introduce me for my workout. He's gonna describe my use of adverbs.
Jason, this last column you wrote on Lamar Jackson, it was 500 words. You used the word quickly 43 times. We need other words for you to describe when a guy is really fast.
Yeah, to be fair, he has written a column in the last three years.
He moves with alacrity.
Alacrity, nicely done.
Wow. That may be the first time alacrity has ever been uttered on sports talk radio ever.
I wish we could do a keyword search.
Possibly the last.
Maybe.
Do you guys use, multisyllabic words very often?
I've been guilty of it, and then I've been told it.
Listen, my words have been... Listen, I like to be as mellifluous and licentious as the next guy, but...
Mellifluous, licentious.
Listen, this show...
He's pulled that line before.
This show is a conflagration of personalities.
We are. It's incongruent with the concept.
Remember, incongruent from 8th grade math. Hey, so let's start here. In all seriousness, we saw Mark Garagos, Kaepernick's lawyer, say today a couple of teams interested in him following his workout. Are there really two teams?
The same thing a year ago.
Yeah, are there really two teams?
He said the same thing 2 years ago. He said the same thing like when he first took him on as a client. Mark Garagos has like close to zero credibility when it comes to football. Now, maybe it'll happen. That's cool. That'd be nice. I mean, do I think that Colin Kaepernick deserves to be in the NFL playing? Yeah, he's better. He's better than Luke Falk. Okay, you watch that, yeah. Right? Not that Luke Falk is in the league anymore, but if those are the kind of guys who are getting jobs, I mean, who are we kidding? He's better than them. At the same time, if the NFL thinks, and not necessarily collectively, but individually thinks, this guy's bad for your business, I get it. Why would you hire somebody who alienates the audience? I always liken it to, Joe Jackson was a great, and I'm not talking about Michael's dad, but Joe Jackson, the singer artist from the the mid 1970s on.
Yeah, Stepping Out Tonight.
Stepping Out.
Was a terrific musician. He was probably a better musician than like Elvis Costello. But the problem that Joe Jackson had is he hated his audience.
Okay.
So that doesn't really work if you're gonna be an entertainer. Like, he just didn't like people. And if you don't like people aren't going to probably like you. And it's not, Colin Kaepernick's not that extreme, but he has certainly pissed off a lot of people. And here's my thing about this whole, was the NFL right? Was he right? Going to the workout, not going to the workout. But neither one of them deserves any credit for anything in this whole story. They both were playing games. The NFL's playing a game to try and get out from underneath a possible lawsuit. And he's trying to do Nike commercials. So I'm not buying either side as being that likable in this whole thing. Do you want to play football or do you not want to play football, Colin? Because if you do, don't make it a Nike commercial. Okay, that's not what this is about. Either you want in or you don't. And if you really want to prove yourself, go to Canada. Go play in another league. Go show that you're willing to make a sacrifice and take a step down. And the people who say that stuff about you, they're not wrong. So in all of this, I find all the characters unlikable. Everybody's working an angle. Everybody's trying to pull a fast one on each one. But at the end of the day, is he good enough to play? Yes.
Yeah, to your Joe Jackson point,
well,
the other Joe Jackson.
I mean,
just the other Joe Jackson didn't like anybody, and nobody liked him either. So they really.
Well, he wasn't a particularly good human being.
No, that's.
I think Joe Jackson the singer is a better human being than Joe Jackson the dad.
What about Shoeless Joe Jackson?
Shoeless Joe Jackson was a fine human being who got basically railroaded in that whole operation, because that guy hit 380 in the World Series, and he actually worked at it. And those Chicago White Sox, they deserved to win that title that year.
Yeah, wow. And anybody can sign it.
Did you cover the 1919 World Series?
No, but
I told Ring Lardner, Ring, I have the story. I'm going to bang
do,
it up.
I do love Eight Men Out.
Nobody cares about your batting
Sit
average,
down,
Buck. all right, Antonio Brown, our other favorite dissatisfied, out-of-work wide receiver.
Mr. Kraft, take me back to ease.
And Tom Brady likes it because he's all angry. It's a beautiful thing.
Well, they need him. I mean, look, this is where it was one thing to cut him, 7 weeks ago or 8 weeks ago, when he was an embarrassment to the league and you were doing fine and beating people by 30 points and all that. And then, like, the last couple of weeks, you go, we don't have anybody who's really very good next to Tom Brady, do we? Like, we don't have anybody who makes the defense at all scared, because they're looking at Edelman going, not really that big a deal without Gronkowski next to him. Really not. So they decided they need a weapon, and now the story's out there that he's apologized, and they'll put it all together because they want to make another run at a title. I get it. This is where necessity, overrides morality, and that's the story of the entertainment business.
Yeah, but isn't this the case where when a team wants to sign him, the NFL says, we haven't completed our investigation, he's on the exempt list? I mean, I can't see him playing again this year.
Well, it depends on what the NFL really has or doesn't have. And presumably, if he's apologizing, it's because the NFL looked at this and says, not really enough, okay? Yeah, some stupid tweets, or not tweets, but stupid text messages and stuff like that. But not enough for us to sit him down, especially for a guy who, while he's been, certainly the last year of Antonio Brown's life has been a nut job chaos, it hasn't necessarily been overwhelmingly illegal, okay? So they may say, serve a couple of games, and then you can go back to playing. I mean, like, Tyreek Hill's playing football this year, of all things. I'm not sure that Antonio Brown's, like, way worse off than Tyreek Hill at this point in time.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Wow, getting ready for the big game, right? Isn't it the big game, Jason Cole, right? It's the big game, right? The big game.
It's the only game.
The only game. The only game. The big
game.
The only game
that matters. they should put this on pay-per-view.
So nine in a row.
Really?
How are we feeling?
How much would you pay to watch that game?
Well, we own the decade. We haven't lost this decade.
You feeling good about this, about the game, though?
My team is, 4-6?
Yeah.
Yeah, you beat us.
Yeah, come on.
My beloved Northwestern
squad. What did you win, one game this year? I mean, come on.
Woo-hoo. This is, let's just say this. I go in with faux confidence.
There you go. Not no, but faux.
No, faux confidence. Faux
Not
confidence.
No confidence. I go in with faux confidence.
I dig that.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're not very good either.
It's the Pac-12. There's a lot of questions going on.
My favorite line about the Pac-12 is, it's Rich Eisen talking about that fabulous conference, the Pac-12 after dark.
Oh, that's the best. It's look, I don't think the Pac-12 is any good, but it's fun, it's kooky, and it's like your uncle who moves into your house and lives in your attic.
You know what it really is?
What?
The Western Athletic Conference, 1975.
Oh, that's a hot take.
That is exactly what it is, because all the big offensive linemen, the guys who can really play, they all go to, like, real schools now. Like, they go to Ohio State and Michigan and down to Alabama. I mean, they're losing kids out of California and Washington. I mean, it's a joke. And Larry Scott, I mean, just fire him. Just get rid of him.
Wow, look at that. Hot from Jason Cole.
Larry Scott is a clown. An absolute 100% clown. He is the Jeff Fisher of and if you could get somebody who's the equivalent of Eric Dickerson on the show to take down Larry Scott, I would really appreciate it.
Well, I don't like Jason Cole. I never liked him. He used to show up
practices. I feel bad because I think Jeff Fisher actually had a pretty good career. Larry Scott has not.
Well, hey, speaking of guys who have had good careers and now are not, Philip Rivers. Look, last night we watched him. Any chance the Chargers bench him? Any chance we see him as a Charger after this year?
Or for what? I mean, no, they don't have an alternative yet. And I don't know exactly what's wrong with Rivers. I don't think he's done physically. I think he's just having a really bad stretch right now. But he is 38. And, you know, I don't know how focused, you know, he really is on doing this till he's 40 or 42. I don't think he's focused at all on that idea. I think he's just going to do it while it's fun. And eventually that commute is not fun, even if you're not actually driving it. Although I could say this, if you had 9 kids, wouldn't you want a little time away?
Everybody needs a little time away.
Hey, I got 1 kid, and if I get to sit in the bathroom for 5 minutes, I go, good, I'm getting out. Good, I'm getting out. I'm on my phone. Oh, it's like I'm getting out now.
Oh, come on. Everybody knows you spend more than 5 minutes.
That's a way to really get it out.
He sits in there long enough for him to sit down. Okay.
Parenting here on Fox Radio. Let's go.
Well, but I mean, that's an insight to the soul.
I've got 1 child and I'm overwhelmed. Oh, my God.
He just told them.
He's still playing man-to-man defense. In fact, you guys got him out 2-1, okay? And you're still complaining. It's when you have to play zone defense against your kids, that's when you get
crushed. Yeah.
Hey, my daughter is very fast, okay? She's very fast.
They're running the fast break, and it's like tomahawk guns. It's like Dominique Wilkins followed by LeBron. it's brutal. It's absolutely brutal when it's 3-on-2, and then you start getting into 5-on-2, and they're just toying with you. I mean, like, it becomes like the Harlem Globetrotters throwing long passes from half court and stuff like that.
It's a shell game all around. Hey, Jason, on the other side of that game from yesterday, the Kansas City Chiefs run game, it with the issues, they do get some health back on the O-line, but it's the team that's starting to show some cracks here along the way, or can this defense hold up with Frank Clark leading the way?
You know, all I heard last offseason when they were going through this transition was about how the Chiefs, they were going to totally remake the defense, and they were going to be aggressive. They're going to come in and blitz, and that's why they got Spagnuolo, and they were really, you know, they didn't want to deal with D Ford because he wasn't half the player that Frank Clark was, and now, you know, all this stuff. It's like, it's the same old, same old. It's like, you know, it's like watching David Byrne do same as it ever was, right? And
leaving no stone unturned.
Making the days go
once in a lifetime. We're doing all 70s, 80s music tonight on Fox Radio.
All guys who are a little bit left of center in terms of how they were perceived in terms of their normality.
Yeah, exactly. Joe Jackson, David Byrne.
I'm going back to old guys.
Yeah. So, where were we? This whole thing about the Chiefs and what they were going to do, I was looking at it, I was going, okay, maybe if Spagnuolo is allowed to blitz a lot and they get like one more defensive line, it hasn't panned out at all. And so, you know, like, if you're going to play with that kind of an offense,
why aren't you playing a max blitz kind of defense all the time, saying, look, if we give up some quick scores, we're okay. As long as we get a turnover or two along the way and give Mahomes the ball more. Now, obviously, a lot of that was changed because they didn't have Mahomes for a long stretch of time. So you sort of have to change up the way you play. But once you have Mahomes back out there, why aren't you just going for it? Now, they've got four interceptions yesterday, and they picked but there's a problem. If they had gotten four interceptions, this should have been – shouldn't this have been a 20-point victory?
Yeah, they got them? Problems, man. They just have less problems than the Chargers do.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. I mean – gotta feel bad for the Chargers because I gotta think Anthony Lynn's a great coach, and they're just beset by the Derwin James thing and everything else that's happened this year. But God, I would have thought that team had a chance to be really special this year, and they've regressed.
You can follow him on Twitter at JasonCole62. That's at JasonCole62. His stage name is actually Max Blitz.
Sharp.
Editor-in-chief at fansided.com.
Jim Sharp.
Pro I'm football.
is she really not with him? Because I am. How many more references are we going to drop here for Dijak?
No, we're good. We're done. I was trying to get... Never mind. Pro Football Hall of Fame voter. Don't forget. Jason Cole. Jay Cole is always...
I should be the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame voter. That way I would get to go to Ohio twice a year.
I am kicking Alice in Chains out, not putting them on my ballot.
They put too many people in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They've got too many people in there. They got to have less guys in there.
Everybody gets in as long as you have a song.
Stop calling it rock and roll.
It's terrible. Yeah. It's terrible. Like Ted Nugent's going to get in someday, and I'm just going to shoot myself if that happens.
And TJ, obviously, Ted Nugent's songs have Jason Cole
you
in a stranglehold.
With Jerry Jones, Jerry Jones accent. Well, here's the thing. Will Aha get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Now get the stranglehold fella in from the damn Yankees back in 91. Bye, Jason Cole. I mean, he's just going to be talking still. He's still talking.
he's
just still talking. He's talking. Doesn't matter.
He's sitting there going, do, 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 do.